Jewish news from down under. Down under. With Vic Halidas.
Good day, mate.
Good morning, Vic. How are you?
Good morning, Kath. Very well, thank you. Good to talk to you.
It's always good to speak to you, Vic. Can we just talk about what's happening with the Labour government in Australia? And their stance on two-state solution. I mean, what's going on with them?
So the issue is that there is we have a federal government and we have every state, and we used to call them provinces in South Africa, and that's, I don't know what they're called today, but every state and every province, as it were, has its own government. So every state has a government and the country has a government. The Labour Party, there's a federal one and then there are state ones. They have conferences very often, or too often, one might say, but that's another matter. The New South Wales, that's the state in which Sydney is, the New South Wales Labour Party is about to have a conference in a couple of weeks' time, at the end of this month. And for the last couple of conferences, for reasons best known to a small number of people, there have been a number of anti-Israel resolutions. So at last year's conference, for example, there were approximately something like 50, that's 50, hostile resolutions on Israel. The mind boggles.
Yes.
And this is out of a total number of international issue resolutions of not much more than that. I mean, that was three-quarters of the international resolutions were on Israel and attacking Israel. So this year, the number is significantly smaller, which is a good thing. However, a report came out in The Australian, one of our major national newspapers, yesterday, saying that, and the introduction says, Labour will formally abandon almost 40 years of explicit ideological support for Israel, with a resolution expected to be passed at this month's state conference. The move that would ultimately bind the leader of the party to unconditional recognition of a Palestinian state should he become prime minister. So then there's a major story about that, and as a result of that, there's been a significant number of articles in other media. I was invited onto Sky News Television to do an interview on this issue. And the point which I made, and yes, we have cited the main resolution which has been put forward, and this main resolution which is on the books at the moment for this conference says that if the Labour, and Labour's currently in opposition in the federal government, if the Labour comes into power at the next election, then the leader is urged to immediately recognize the state of Palestine. And at the same time, it's also important to mention, as somewhat of a caveat, it also mentions that previous resolutions which talk about two-state solution are binding. But the words of the resolution itself does not mention Israel. It only talks about urging the prime minister to recognize Palestine. Needless to say, the Jewish community was very concerned by this. And obviously, our position is to support a two-state solution. Yes, to support Palestine as part of a deal, a package which also recognized Israel's right to exist in peace side by side, and your listeners know that very well. And that's been our position. And so there's a lot of concern about this. Now, in today's paper, 24 hours later, interestingly, some of the most prominent members of the Labour Party have come out saying that they do not hold by this position, this new one, that they support a two-state solution. And so that's very encouraging. And so we are obviously talking to people in the unions, because the unions play a big part in the labor movement in this country. We are talking to unions. We're talking to members of parliament. We are talking to officials in the party and saying to them that we have no issue with saying that you will urge recognition of Palestine as long as it is as part of a deal which also recognizes Israel's right to exist in peace, secure borders, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where we are. There's still 3 weeks to go before the conference, so there's still a significant amount of water to go under the bridge before we get to a final landing. But as we are today, it is a matter of serious concern. And as I say, a lot of work is still to be done between now and the end of the month when the conference takes place.
Vic, does the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, is it part of your mandate to kind of intercede between the relationship between the Australian government and the Jewish community, or the Australian government and Israel? I mean, do you have a Zionist Federation there?
That's an interesting question. We do have a Zionist Federation of Australia, but the interesting thing is that in the state of New South Wales, the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies is the lead body on advocating on behalf of the Jewish community and indeed on behalf of Israel as well. Every state has a Jewish Board of Deputies. The truth of the matter is that we are the most active and most best resourced, and therefore the most active. And we all affiliate to a federal body called the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. And so they are the body which intercedes or which makes recommendations to federal government, as in Canberra, and we make recommendations in the state arena. And so we work very well together, and we coordinate our work together with the federal body. And so this is a state conference, and therefore we have the lead running on this issue and on working hard to try and get a balanced motion coming up at this conference, given that it's a state conference. When it's next year, if there's a federal Labor Party conference, then our federal body will have the running of that on behalf of the community.
Okay, but I'm sure that you'll keep us updated on what happens with this resolution. Vic, Australia's recently done a census, and according to the census, 6,000 fewer Australians say that they are Jewish. Why is that?
We strongly believe that the figures are totally flawed. I mean, it's unless there's a mass immigration out of the country, which there has not been, since the last census, then these figures are totally flawed. A census has held, it's a government thing. It happens every 5 years. So the last one was in 2011. This one was held in 2016, and the results have just come out now. According to the results of the census, there are currently 91,000 Jews in the country, where there were 97,000 5 years ago. It's not possible that there has been such a drop. So, and second thing is, as we know from our own history and for reasons which are well known to listeners, a lot of members of the community do not identify as Jewish on lists. Now, the census is compulsory except for the religion question. And the religion question is the only optional question in this entire census. If you don't fill in the census, you get fined something like $50 or something. But the religion question, not only is it optional, but because the Jewish community is only 0.5% of the population here, they only actually list the five biggest religious groups. So if you're Jewish and you want to identify as Jewish, you have to actually write in Jewish under a section called Other. So for that reason, plus we have such a strong percentage of Holocaust survivors, plus our own history, many Jewish people do not identify on lists. And we believe that the number of Jewish people in the community here is about 120,000. In terms of why the numbers have gone down according to the census, obviously we'll never know exactly, other than that, are there more people who are declining to identify on the list, or was there some error in the calculations? We don't know. But certainly the figure just absolutely does not tally, given that there has been no immigration. In fact, people are coming into the country.
What are your assimilation rates then in Australia?
Obviously, one never knows exactly because, if people sort of drift away, they don't, ring a bell and say, this is me, I'm out of here. So we believe it's around approximately 30%. Okay. But that's obviously only an approximation.
Vic, a question very quickly about a shul closing in Sydney. That's from one of our listeners, Colin Z, who asked me to ask you. So tell us a little bit about this shul.
So hopefully it won't close. This is it's called South Head Synagogue. It's one of the large, and there are many large synagogues in the community. We have around probably about 35 synagogues in Sydney. South Head has been established for a long time. It has had some former South African presidents. Malcolm Kofsky, a friend of mine, was president up until recently. They've had a rabbi, Rabbi Ben Zion Malecki, who as a member of the Lubavitch Chabad tradition, and he has been there for many years, probably 3 or 4 decades, I would say. A few years ago, the synagogue, they decided they needed renewal, etc., and Rabbi Maliki was offered one, according to the current president, was offered $1.2 million to depart the shul. And according to the reports, and obviously one only knows what one reading is here, I'm not on the inside on this at all, he declined the offer and pointed out that he had chazoka, he had lifetime tenure at the synagogue. His contract was then revoked, and he was told that he was essentially out of a job. He then went to the Supreme Court to file a case against his dismissal, and the Supreme Court judge ruled in his favor and said that, and the reason that ruled in his favor had nothing to do with halakha, nothing to do with Jewish law. It simply had to do with his contract, which said that if there were to be if his life tenure had to be terminated, or if there to be any disagreement, it needed to be resolved by the Beth Din. Very simple. And therefore, on that basis, the Supreme Court judge overruled Rabbi Maliki's dismissal, and he's back in the shul. And so, as of now, the shul is in chaos. The doors literally might be locked, literally any day, if not today, could be tomorrow. And the hope is that some people, and administrators, by the way, I forgot to mention, have been called in, and he or she might put a padlock on the door, because there are financial issues. There's this absolute turmoil about, is the rabbi in, is the rabbi out? The Supreme Court has overturned his dismissal, and it's a very sad state of affairs. And in fact, one of the prominent rabbis in Australia, who's actually based out in Perth, which is on our far western border, has actually written a column in which he said, quote, "I have life tenure as chief rabbi of the Perth congregation, and halakhically could hold my position for the rest of my life. But I'm stepping down because I feel that the community would be far better served by a younger successor, et cetera, et cetera. The true test of a good rabbi is to know when to hand over." And so it's a pretty sad situation. It's sad for many reasons, because Rabbi Maliki has done an amazing job for 3-4 decades. The synagogue has been there for a long time. And obviously, yeah, families, the bar mitzvah was canceled last weekend, last Shabbat, because the family didn't know, will there be a rabbi? Won't there be a rabbi? So it is up in the air as we speak right now. And we await what will happen with the administrator. Will some people with funds come along to bail the synagogue out? Because funding is a major issue. The rabbi still is, according to the judgment, is still currently costing the synagogue $30,000 a month, which is obviously a significant amount. And so there are all these issues still in play, and the community is watching. So it's a sad situation, and as of right now, it is, we don't know what will be, whether the synagogue will survive, or whether in fact it'll have to close.
Vic, thank you so much for that update. We look forward to speaking to you next Tuesday.
Thank you very much. Well, Kath, I look forward to that.
I've actually posted your video. That clip from that you did with Sky News on our Morning Mayhem Facebook page. So thank you very much. Wish you a great week. Take care.
I wish you too. Thank you.
Bye.